The table was carefully set with two places for breakfast. The kitchen was filled with sunlight and with the aromas of coffee and bacon. April was at the stove wearing a fresh maternity dress, and she looked up at him with a shy smile. "Good morning," she said. He wanted to go down on his knees and put his arms around.
So what Yeats wrote about were people who delude themselves. Among the post-war American middle class, there was a lot of easy affluence. And there was this hope among the post-war middle class that with all this affluence and all this new leisure time, you would be able to sort of reinvent yourself. You would realize your inner potential. You would be able to read all the the great masterpieces of Western civilization, and you would find sort of what your own talent was, and perhaps you would be a great artist or a great thinker or something like that. And most people are not great artists or great thinkers, and so there was a lot of disappointment and drinking and despair in the suburbs, and that's what Yeats wrote about.
Life did, after all, have to go on. "It certainly is a nice morning out, isn't it?" he said. "Yes, it is. Would you like scrambled eggs or fried?" "Oh, it doesn't really matter. Well, yes, scrambled, I guess, if it's just as easy." "Fine, I'll have scrambled too."
Yeats was a difficult man to get to know. It didn't help that he was an invalid, with lungs wrecked in wartime at the age of 20. He struggled his entire life with his health, both physical and mental, and refused to even cut down his excessive drinking and smoking.
"Drinking again and thinking of when you loved me."
I didn't live with him because my parents got divorced when I was 2.
His daughter and literary executor, Monica Shapiro.
So my experience of him was visits. He sang songs and he read stories and we made things and we went places and he was just a very sweet, lovable man.
"Making the rounds, accepting a round."
But he lived in dire grimness. We'd be having the fun with Dad, who was a sweetheart, but you also felt very bad about his living circumstances. He was definitely, he lived very badly. He didn't know how to live.
He had this brownstone apartment on Beacon Street in Boston. Just a terribly depressing place. It smelled, he smoked 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes a day. So the curtains were grayish brown and sagging with assimilated nicotine. And, the place, there was ashes everywhere. And he had a swivel desk chair. And there was this ring of dead cockroaches around his desk because he would, when he was, ruminating on the next word, he would swivel around in his chair and sort of idly stomp cockroaches that came within his purview.
"Oh, yeah, I'm drinking again."
Unfortunately, he was afflicted by madness. And once he came from Iowa, stayed on our couch, as he often did when he was in New York, and had an attack. And I was alone. I heard glass breaking in the living room. I thought, well, this man is my friend. I love him. I'm not afraid of him. And I went inside and said, "Dick, mental illness is no excuse for bad behavior."
"Trying to lose a dream that used to be."
Yeats, a man so finely attuned to the failings of others, had an obstinate approach to his own lifestyle. He measured out his life in cheap booze at a time when men drank, especially writers, and the culture dictated that if you didn't drink, you wouldn't be taken seriously.